The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and our Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope. They are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why they are essential to our relationship with God, one only needs to turn to Scripture in that regard. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the current ministries, and the people of St. Bartholomew Parish in the southwest suburb of Middleburg Heights. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship, longtime pastor at St. Bartholomew's, Father Len Basic, along with parish music director John Hudak. Well, first, Father Len, as we look at St. Bartholomew's earliest development, it appears that the new parish founded in the early 1960s was a product of the diocese's famous builder, Archbishop Edward F. Hoban. So was that the case as you see the history?
Yes, as I know the history, this is exactly true. Bishop Hoban would actually drive out here to see the construction in stages. He enlisted Monsignor Kenneth Saunders, who was his regular master of ceremonies at the cathedral, and he was appointed the first pastor. He was given a mission, and that mission was celebrating their first masses in different places. For example, for us, it was not in a pool hall or a furniture store, but our school building really came first. Our church public worship was in C.A. Thomas Public School. Now it's the new Middleburg Heights Library.
It's interesting dynamic. So you had it there, the first masses, and then when you did make it back to the property, you ended up being first in the school building. Is that correct as far as your first masses?
Yes, that is exactly the case. He was given the order to build, and he did. One interesting bit of information, as I said, the bishop would be driven out and look at how the different things were going. When they came to look at the building and at the first floor, the second floor was already there, but no precision in the building. Monsignor said, "Well, here, Bishop, we're going to have our church on the first floor here." And he says, "You are?" "No, you're not." And Monsignor says, "Bishop, what do you mean?" He says, "You're going to put the church on the second floor." And Monsignor said, "Well, that's a lot of walking." He said, "Yes, but you're going to have the funerals on the second floor, right?" "Yes." "Well, you're going to have your church quickly, because people will get tired of carrying those caskets up to the second floor."
Oh, that's amazing.
And in fact, that present area is like a double classroom, so it could seat so many.
My goodness.
It's a funny, but it's an actual true story.
Boy, that really is something. You know, one of the interesting pieces of parish history as well was the parish's first associate, a newly ordained priest at the time, but just tell us who that was.
Well, Remarkably so. It was Father Anthony Pilla.
Boy, that's a wonderful testament to the parish.
Yes, and they got along famously for years. They all kept in touch. Monsignor's parents and Father Pilla's parents would actually be here quite often with dinner in the dining room. It's a very special thing. And I went to the seminary in 1960, and then at that time, Anthony Pilla was one of the new professors. And Bishop Pilla has sort of followed me the whole way, all the way down. In fact, he's been here to St. Bart's in its day many, many times. I'm proud to say I've had a number of phone conversations with the gentleman, and he's just one fantastic individual.
Well, he surely is, isn't he? It's kind of nice to have that guardian angel with you along the way.
Oh, yeah.
St. Bartholomew's was one of the new suburban area parishes established accommodating the post-World War II population outgrowth and the migration from the city. Where did the earliest congregants migrate from?
Well, I would say this for some of the ethnic parishes, they moved out of those neighborhoods at a point. Some of the individuals who were in the inner city wanted to move out. My own parents, we were in an ethnic neighborhood on the east side. And after a few years in the seminary, my folks gravitated to Parma. Seven Hills.
Sure. The nature of what happened, I believe, for the most part that time period.
Yeah. The Middleburg Heights was loaded with onion fields.
Oh, really? Really? So
yes.
It was onion fields. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know whether the workers, there's no notes on that, but it was if you want to say a novelty, but that's exactly what occurred.
Of course, those onion fields then had to make way for all that new housing at the time, and we're talking some 65 years ago. When we return, St. Bartholomew, its dynamic music ministry, and its effort to provide Catholic education on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. And you're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mielewczyk's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. So be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscribe box that pops onto your screen. My guest, pastor of St. Bartholomew's Parish in Middleburg Heights, Father Len Basic, and music director John Hudak. And let me start with the fact that my understanding is that the music ministry at St. Bartholomew's plays a significant role in parish worship and liturgies. And I'll look to John Hudak. And John, tell us, what traditions have you been able to establish at the parish to incorporate music in your worship?
Well, Bob, starting 10 days before Christmas in 1999, when Father Basic interviewed me and hired me for the position, I had to start quick and think quick. And many parishioners came immediately to the choir loft and said they wanted to be part of the music ministry here. So we began developing things with the parish music ministry, realizing that the Mass is the core of who we are, why we exist. You know, music deepens the prayer and solidifying our sung prayer at the Mass. But most importantly, those people sharing their talents and their gifts with their fellow parishioners.
And that really does distinguish a liturgy so often. Now, I know you have several different ensembles, an adult, traditional adult choir, I believe, as well as a contemporary adult choir and ensemble. Distinguish those for me, if you will, John. What's the difference and what's the approach?
Well, being here for almost 22 years now, I walked into a traditional choir and contemporary choir that was established. And basically the difference is the musical repertoire and the instrumentation that we use. When Father Basic was here and we had the pleasure of several associates, we had multiple Masses on Sunday, so we were able to offer our parishioners a variety of styles for their comfort and prayer life. Recently, a couple of years ago, we downsized the Sunday liturgy schedule to 9 and 11. So that was a big challenge because some people really appreciate the traditional music of the parish and some appreciate the contemporary. And I remember telling both choirs, we're going to have to shift masses, and we're going to have to be respectful that the people that were at the 10 are going to now be at 9 and 11. So we're going to have to reach out to them and experience a different type of liturgy, encompassing both traditional and contemporary at both services. Over the years, we've spent a lot of money in redoing things in the loft, and one of them was putting an organ in for almost $300,000. And I told the contemporary choir, if I don't use that organ, people are going to be upset. They want to hear that. So both choirs embrace that, and so we're moving towards a central type of liturgy and music, and that all venues and all types of music are now experienced at all of our Sunday liturgies.
That's a fascinating element to this whole transformation within the church, too, as we have to look at the changes. You've also established a nice program for children to get those youngsters involved in parish music. Tell us about that.
The reason I began that was because that's where I got my start. I attended school at Assumption in Brook Park, and Sister Kathy Andrews was our pastoral associate. And I was in second grade, and she came into the classroom and said she needed someone to sing a solo because Bishop Hickey was coming for confirmation mass. And so that's where I began my ministry in second grade at Assumption. She started a wonderful program there called Kids Praise, which propelled me not only singing in a church but into an organization called the Ohio Boy Choir. And so as a child myself, I saw the importance of getting involved, and I wanted the kids here at St. Barth's to have that same experience and love of music that I have. So we began the Kids Praise program here. And the most interesting part of that over the 20 years of doing Kids Praise here is the fact that you have children in the grade school interfacing with parishioners who are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And after the nine-week program completes each year, they see each other in church, and they connect. And I think one other time, what a 70-year-old parishioner talked to a seventh grader or a second grader. So it's building the community within the community.
Boy, that really is a well-established approach to trying to get all of those folks involved, and really does describe the parish as community as such.
If you bring the kids, it also brings the parents, and the parents then get involved. The old adage, a child shall lead them.
A child shall lead them. Amen. Now, John, you also have a bell choir, is that correct?
In 2003, actually St. Charles Parish in Parma came in. I'm friends with Tom Holzheimer, and I asked him if his bell choir would come here and ring for our parishioners. Bell choirs are new to the Catholic Church. It's our brothers and sisters in the Protestant faith that have had them in their churches for many years. So Tom brought his choir here, and they rang, and after Mass, folks just jumped on that, and they wanted another facet of music ministry. And the bells, we use them twice a month at Sunday liturgy. They play for First Communion, Confirmation, and other special liturgies at the parish. And it gives folks that maybe are a little reluctant to join a vocal choir another opportunity to experience ministry in the parish. So it's a great addition to the entire music ministry.
John, you have some 20 years at the parish. Any special memories, either related to music or with the parish itself?
I have three special memories. The first memory was when Father Len called me in 1999. I had recently left my other position, and I was home, and I was jobless, and I was not in the right frame of mind, if you will, and I was cleaning, and this gentleman called my house and said, "Is this the residence of John Hudak?" And I thought it was the solicitor, and I hung up on him. He called back. He said, "Is this John Hudak?" And I hung up again. And the third time he called, he said, "This is Father Len Basic. I want to interview you." And I thought, oh, my gosh, what did I just do? What a wonderful first impression I made.
Right, right.
And here we are 22 years later working together side by side in ministry. And I couldn't have asked for a better boss, support. The day Father hired me, he said, "This is what the parish needs and wants. Go for it." And he has always been a supporter of the music ministry and anything we need, and backed us 100%. The second memory that I have is being here so long. Last year, I was meeting with a couple for marriage to plan their music for their wedding. And the young lady said, "Mr. Hudak, you played my first communion, and you played my confirmation, and now you're playing my wedding." And I said, "If you're telling me I'm old, I'm going to charge you double for this."
Amen. What a wonderful recognition of the faith, though, and of your involvement as well.
Well, journeying with them, seeing them make their first communion, experiencing their confirmation, and then celebrating, it's been an awesome journey for me. And the third special memory was my father's funeral. My father died unexpectedly. and the love and support of not only the music ministry, but my fellow music ministers. Mrs. Mary Gabriel, who's out at Our Lady of Grace, she came and she helped with the music for my dad's mass. And just seeing that, how our faith reached beyond the walls of St. Bartholomew Church, I had such love and support not only of my own parish community, but others in the area that I've worked with, other music directors that had come forth, which is awesome.
Well, thank you, John Hudak. Coming up, St. Bartholomew's in Middleburg Heights and its efforts regarding Catholic education and other aspects on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And the focus of this broadcast is St. Bartholomew's Parish in Middleburg Heights in Cleveland's southwest suburbs. I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guests are St. Bartholomew pastor, Father Len Basic, and longtime music director, John Hudak. And Father, it is always interesting as we look at the various parishes. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of Catholic education. From the earliest development of the parish, as we acknowledged in our first segment, the school and education have really been a prominent part of what this parish is all about. Would you agree with that?
Oh, certainly. From the beginning, build a school. Mm-hmm. And then the story of putting the church on the second floor. You'll have your church, too. The school just began to grow and to grow. In the 90s, Father Leahy, my predecessor, experienced a challenge with dealing with enrollment, and the result was to seek accreditation and to make this place what's called an academy. Well, that has a special focus on science, computers, etc. And people say, what's the difference? Well, it's the technology, the science and the technology and the computers. And so the parish was granted the accreditation of naming it an academy. As I said in the previous segment, I was told that if I wasn't going to add on to the academy, because it was growing, that I wouldn't receive the parish. And I said, yes, I'm going to do it. My biggest commitment now, though, is the demographics of the area, how we can sustain a visible presence. Because so many people now are choosing not to have a Catholic education because of the expense. Long time ago, we formed the ASB, the Academy School Board, lay people in the parish, parents of children in the parish. We were hiring a new principal. We have expanded our enrollment in the past. We now use EdChoice vouchers and the John Peterson scholarship to help keep up with the individual needs of children with their studies that are having a very difficult time. So I would say that it is a struggle. Other parishes around us are going through the same struggle. Parishes throughout the diocese have in the past and most recently closed their school. It's very sad. It just is very sad. But those are the things that we have to deal with in this day and age.
It sure is, but it sounds like you've taken it head on. It sounds like your school is, the academy, is still functioning and functioning well now, correct?
Yes, yes. We had a little bump in the road 2 years ago. Last year, we made some changes. We have a very vibrant principal now in our second year. And John wants to say something.
Yes, please, John.
Well, what was extremely challenging was this past year with the COVID crisis that we've all been experiencing. And it was through the efforts of our current principal, Mrs. Crystal Manos, and her entire staff. Within 2 days of everything closing last March, our school was up online doing virtual teaching before many public school systems were, which our parents were elated with, that we took the bull by the horns, and that's all due to Mrs. Manos and her staff over at the school. It was just like we didn't know where to go or where to start, and they made it happen over there.
Boy, that is extraordinary, within 2 days to work that process. That leads to my next question. Father Len, during this awful pandemic, how have you been able to conduct liturgies and other parish activities? What's been your process?
We had to figure out how to reach out to congregants. Not many people have computers, some of the elderly, and they're not computer savvy. So we reached out to our congregants with mass mailings right at the beginning of the pandemic. What's going on in the parish, the mass schedule, what are we doing with Lent? We wanted to connect to the folks, and we continued to do that. We also continue to give live stream 9 o'clock Mass on Sunday through the talents of one of our seventh graders, Noah, from the Academy. It happened in Lent, and the plan had to be formed for the events of, well, all of Lent. There were no stations. We were facing with Holy Week, palms. We had the Holy Name Society pass out palms in the back of church. On Mother's Day, I'm stepping ahead, but we had little orchids given to the mothers. And since all this happened, we had to work well ahead of time for Holy Week. I remember last year how dismal it was, but you still had to celebrate. This year was a blessing that we could actually have Holy Week. But Palm Sunday and Easter, you could see the people returning to church. You could see many people that I have not seen since day one of the pandemic. And I'm more concerned about some people still not coming to church, and I have something to say about that in a minute. Financially, the parish has been able to sustain itself during this stressful period. I mean, they would mail their envelopes. They would bring them in. There's a door that they could come and put their envelopes. It has been remarkably a blessing for us to go about with the expenses. And it has been stressful. We've all engaged that stress.
You know, Father, you want to comment about people returning once we're past the COVID situation.
Now we live stream, but what I have heard, and it's a disturbing comment for me, but I understand. I heard people enjoy watching the TV Mass in their pajamas and enjoying a cup of coffee. I find that a little bit disturbing. I hope that that is not going to be an extended experience because we're still streaming. Because in church, we don't watch. We participate. So we have to be creative. And I'm wondering, and I pray to God, that will these folks return in a positive way? And so we have to connect with them, in a sense. John has something to say about that.
Bob, one of our parishioners who helps us with parish decorations sent in a picture. Her and her husband could not attend Mass. They set up a special room in their house, made an altar, and that's where they go when they celebrate Mass. They close all the doors, they go into that room, and so during this pandemic, they've set a special place in their house where they worship on Sunday. When she sent that picture to us, it was like, wow, you know, someone really, really took it serious and set up something very special, and that was just an awesome sight to see.
Well, thank you, Father Len Basak and John Hudak, for those reflections. As you've been listening to Where We Worship, sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland, this is your host, Bob Tayak, and this presentation featured St. Bartholomew's in Middleburg Heights. Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.